org.
Who doesn't love a debit card? They make buying things easy, and you can't go into debt with them because you're limited to what's in your checking account. And they're just as safe as credit cards, right? Maybe not. Well, the truth is the law doesn't treat debit and credit cards equally, and the difference could cost you money. Today, our host, financial planner and teacher Rob West, has exactly what you need to know about when it comes to your debit card. I'm Steve Moore, Debit Card Dangers. Today's program is pre-recorded. Please don't try to call in, but we hope you'll stick around. We have a number of very interesting callers all lined up. MoneyWise Live coming at you right now. So, Rob, why are debit cards so popular these days? Lots of people don't even carry their checkbooks with them anymore.
Well, like you mentioned, Steve, you can't run up debt with them, so you avoid that, but also the interest charges you might be hit with if you use a credit card and don't pay it off. And banks like to promote them because it's cheaper for them to process digital transactions than paper checks.
But there are some inherent flaws that lots of folks aren't aware of, I think. If crooks get a hold of your debit card or your number, that could be a situation. Yeah. So what else here?
Well, the best way to explain this is to compare the protections you have under the law between debit and credit cards. If you're a victim of credit card fraud, you won't be held liable for more than $50. Mm-hmm. If your actual card is stolen and the charges go through, and you're not responsible for unauthorized charges at all if your credit card number is stolen.
Okay, well, that would seem to make credit cards pretty safe in case of fraud.
Yeah, it does, and those are great protections. Unfortunately, the same can't be said for debit cards. For example, with your debit card, you're also responsible for only up to $50 of unauthorized transactions, but that's only if you report the card lost or stolen within 2 business days, and the onus is on you. If you don't report the fraud in that time, you could be out as much as $500. And that's as long as you report the unauthorized use within 60 days of when your statement is mailed to you. By the way, another good reason to balance your account every month.
Okay. All right. $500. Now we're talking real money here, huh?
Yeah, but it gets worse. If you don't report the debit card fraud within those 60 days, you're liable for the full amount of the money you had in your account. And as a final sting, your bank may not waive any overdraft charges that result from debit card fraud. So that's how the law differs between the two, credit and debit cards.
All right. Are some places more dangerous than others as far as using your debit card?
Yeah, there are places that experts tell you to never use a debit card. The most obvious is an independent ATM not connected to your bank. Not only do you get hit with fees, but you're more likely to be the victim of skimmers who steal your number and use it for unauthorized purchases.
All right. Who are skimmers, or what is skimmer? What are skimmers?
Yeah. Well, skimming is when criminals put a device on the face of the ATM. You may not notice it because it looks like it's a part of the machine, but the crooks can then capture the card numbers from anyone using that machine.
That sounds pretty scary. Where else might debit cards be a concern?
Yeah. Believe it or not, Steve, restaurants. If you pay your bill with a debit card, you're putting a lot of trust in the waiter or waitress who takes your card away for several minutes. Nothing prevents that person from copying your number to use it later or perhaps even sell it to crooks. Here's another one you'd think might be the last place you'd have trouble with a debit card, and that's buying airline tickets. This example isn't fraud, but you could still be out the cost of your ticket if the airline goes bust. It happened recently to people who booked flights on WOW Air. They had no way to get their money back. The company has new investors and will reportedly resume flights. Maybe they'll give vouchers to folks who were stranded.
WOW Air. Okay, I missed those guys. All right. What about buying things online? Lots of us use cards for that, whether it's debit or credit. Can that be a concern?
Well, with a debit card, you won't have the same protections you have with a credit card, Steve. If your merchandise doesn't show up or there's some other problem with the transaction, you may not get your money back with a debit card. On the other hand, with a credit card, you have 60 days to file a complaint and be reimbursed by the card issuer.
Okay. All right. So credit cards are safer than debit cards. But what if I don't trust myself using a credit card?
Yeah, a very good question. We don't want to encourage anyone to use credit if they can't pay off the full balance every month. But you still have three alternatives to using a debit card. Obviously, you can write checks. You can go cash only, as we've talked about before. A third option would be what's called a secured credit card. It'll limit your spending even if you can't, because you have to keep cash on deposit and you can only spend up to that amount.
All right. You're listening to MoneyWise Live, and we'll be right back.
Would you like your life to be infused with joy? Would you like to interject an eternal dimension into even the most ordinary day? Author Randy Alcorn says you can when you discover The Treasure Principle. In a concise, power-packed style, this newly revised and updated book offers a six-step plan to finding the immediate pleasure and eternal rewards of The Treasure Principle. And once you discover it, life will never look the same. The Treasure Principle is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
If you need investing guidance, you probably want help that's grounded in God's Word. That's the approach taken by Sound Mind Investing. Since 1990, SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians acquire wisdom and confidence in their investing. Regardless of your investing experience or how much you have to invest, you can learn to be a good and faithful steward in the area of investing. More information about SMI and its approach to financial wisdom for living well is available online at soundmindinvesting.org.
We hear real stories every week of job loss and broken relationships. Perhaps you're experiencing difficult times in your life, the fear of a shaky financial future, or maybe just plain fear of the unknown. No matter what your situation might be, there is someone who's there for you, someone who can bring you an answer to the fears in your life, and His name is Jesus Christ. Placing your faith in Him is the first step in obtaining the peace found solely in a relationship with Christ. A relationship that can never be broken. God has said many times in the Bible, "I will never fail you, I will never abandon you." Wouldn't you like to know someone who will never leave your side? If you would like to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, call 888-NEED-HIM. That's 888-NEED-HIM. Or chat with us at chataboutjesus.com.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Thanks so much for being there today. But this reminder, today's broadcast is pre-recorded. We won't be able to take any live calls, but we knew in advance we were going to be doing this, so we've lined up some interesting callers and questions for you, so please stick around. With that in mind, let's go up north to State College, Pennsylvania. And Jason, what's going on in your life, sir?
Hey, thanks so much for taking my call.
Happy to.
Thanks. My wife and I recently purchased a new home, and it wasn't expected, and it took up a large chunk of our savings while we wait for our other home to sell, which is very slow. And I had to purchase my wife a new car recently, and because it was an older car, I'm hit with a 10% interest rate, and the loan right now is just over $5,000. And I saw an option to maybe do a balance transfer onto a 0% APR card with a 0% balance transfer that's good for 18 months. And so I just wanted your thoughts on doing something like that, knowing that I can pay it off in 18 months.
Yeah. What is your plan to pay this back, Jason, given what you know today?
The plan is to make to use almost every available dollar to pay it back. You know, something north of $600 per month is what we're looking at.
Yeah, and do you have that margin available right now?
I do, yes.
Okay. And if the house sells, you could do that even quicker?
If the house sells, we can pay it off immediately, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, obviously, I don't like the 10% interest rate, and I'm not typically a big fan of opening up a new card and beginning to play the balance transfer game, because so often when the zero balance is, or 0% interest is in play, there's just not as much intentionality with regard to paying it off, because we'll get to that later. We're not even paying any interest on it, and we find other places to use the money. So unless somebody is really disciplined, living on a budget, demonstrating that they can have margin on a monthly basis and be disciplined to apply it to the credit card, there's a reason they do that, because they realize most people don't pay it off and end up paying a lot of interest on the back end. There's also going to be a fee on the front end that could be as much as 3%, or in some cases even more. So you're going to pay $150, up front, which, that is obviously going to offset the savings that you would have by the 0%. So I think you have a couple of choices here. I mean, given that you're saying you've demonstrated you've got this money available each month and you're committed to paying off, is there anything inherently wrong with opening a new card for this purpose? No, I don't think there is. I'd probably rather keep it right where it is. And if you can't refinance it, and I realize because of the age of the car, that may not be possible, even though right now prevailing rates are much lower, 4.5, 4.6%, maybe just over 5, depending on the for a used car. I think keeping it right where it is and just really being diligent about paying it off would probably be my first option. But if you're really concerned about that interest, and I understand why, then as long as you really are committed to it, both you and your wife, and you make some meaningful progress, and we set a date and we stick to it and we pay it off by the time it's done, then, I think you could obviously proceed with that. And I don't think there's anything inherently wrong with that. I would just be really committed.
What do you think, Jason?
I think that's some really good advice. I didn't know if there were like other fees or other things that I had to work out for, as long as I made sure that I paid it off in 18 months. I would hope to pay it off in 12.
Yeah. Well, you will have that upfront balance transfer fee, which you need to understand what that is, and you need to factor that into what you're thinking you're going to save over the next 18 months. So I'd run the numbers and make sure that with that fee, you're still going to save some money, which you probably will at an interest rate of 10%. Mm-hmm. And then also look at whether there's any prepayment penalties. Hopefully there's not, but if there is, you'd want to understand that as well. Those would probably be the two charges that would factor into this.
Jason, thank you very much. And speaking of used cars, here's an email from May. Rob, she says, we called a few years ago when my husband and I were in bankruptcy. We're no longer there. We need a new car, so we sold our two vehicles to raise some money. How do we tithe off the sale of the cars that they sold?
Ah, okay. Well, May, the principle of the tithe is based on the increase, and unless these vehicles appreciated while you had them and you were able to sell them for more than you bought them for and therefore generated an increase, then there is no tithe that applies here to this sale, because cars are depreciating assets. You buy them, they depreciate, and then eventually if you use debt, you pay them off and then you sell them, but you don't have any increase there. Unless it appreciates in value, and that would be a whole different category of car than we're probably talking about here. So the tithe is not in play in this equation.
Yeah, thank you for that, May. And again, if you have a question you'd like to send along to Rob, a brief question, just a few lines, the address is questions@moneywise.org. Email questions go to questions@moneywise.org. Well, speaking of tithing, we'll stay right there. Philadelphia, Amy, what's your tithing question?
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call.
Happy to.
Unfortunately, fortunately, I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. My husband is not a believer. And over the last number of years, I've felt, an increasing burden to tithe to our church. But unfortunately, my husband does not share that same desire. And so I feel like I have a bit of conflict going on, because while the Bible calls us to tithe, Ephesians 5:22 also says that wives are to submit to their husbands and obey. So I really am at a crossroads and I don't know what to do, and I'd love your input.
Yeah. Well, I think this is definitely something to really think through and pray through. And I would agree with you. God does call us to give, but he does also call wives to submit to their husbands. He also calls husbands to love their wives as Christ loved the church. And, you know, I would go to 1 Peter 3 in this, and where it says, wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands. If any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by their wives. And so your life is a living testimony to your husband, and your submission to him is also a testimony. And so what I would say to you, Amy, is that God knows your heart and he doesn't need your money. And I think you praying for your husband, but acknowledging that he is not somebody who wants to be tithing right now, letting him make that decision. And if he disagrees about it, don't proceed. And God knows what you're trying to do there. And let's pray that by you honoring your husband in that way, that that would be a testimony to him. I think the only thing else you could do is to at some point say to him, you know what, as I read Scripture, it says that this is the one area we can test God. So perhaps this is an area where you say, how about over the next 6 months, we just agree to tithe? And we'll stop at the end of that 6 months, and we're going to look back and reflect on what God has done and see what's happened, and perhaps allow God to do something there that would in some way draw your husband to him ultimately, and perhaps allow him to see God's faithfulness. And who knows what way that could show up financially or otherwise, and see if that's not something that becomes really a testimony to him as well. But at the end of the day, I would just say, given his not knowing the Lord and given that he's got a problem with this, I would just say, let's pass on it, submit to him in that way, and just trust that God is going to grab hold of his heart. And we'll join you in praying that the Holy Spirit just opens his eyes and his heart to the saving knowledge of Jesus, knowing that that's ultimately what we're all working for here, and that is that he comes to know Jesus in that way.
And Amy, if I may go out on this limb, because your motivation is not to not tithe, because your motivation is to see your husband ultimately saved, I believe that once you've tithed in your heart, once you've spoken to God about this, he knows your motivation. You're more concerned about eternity than the amount of tithe you're giving right now, because God owns it all. I believe once you've done this in your heart, that God sees it that way and sees that tithe. And again, I'm going out on a limb. Don't send me any emails, but we've seen lots of husbands saved in this way over the decades we've been doing this kind of counseling. And we wish you the very best. You're listening to MoneyWise Live with Rob West. I'm Steve Moore, back with more after this.
God cares a great deal more about our money than most of us imagine. In fact, Jesus says more about our use of money and possessions than about anything else, including both heaven and hell. In Managing God's Money, author Randy Alcorn breaks it all down in a simple, easy-to-follow format that makes it the perfect reference tool if you're interested in gaining a solid biblical understanding of money, possessions, and eternity. Managing God's Money is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Here's Beth Moore with a quick word.
We know this. And when I forget it, you can tell me. And when you forget it, I can tell you. Because the deal is, sometimes I or you may not be absolutely certain in the deer blind. But we know. See, isn't that just a lesson by itself? We know that. I want you to look at the words all things. That's that wonderful all-inclusive word. That absolute love in all ways and nevers. I love alls and nones. I love absolutes. And boy, this is one of them. And it says all things. It's one word, a P-A-N-T-A in the Greek language. And it means, and I want you to fill this in, all of them without exception. Without exception. You are not going through the one thing this is not going to work on. You didn't go through it when you were five. So I have a young friend who lost both of her parents at a very, very young age. If I'm telling you correctly, I believe that I remember it to be 6 years old. You talk about something will trip your mind up. Not a good thing. Not a good thing. But that's not the promise that that would be a good thing. It's not what it says. It says all things work together. And it says all. It says all. It says all.
Beth is dedicated to encouraging people to come to know and love Jesus Christ through the study of Scripture. Why wait? Click online today. Pick a podcast or television teaching or both. Just visit BethMoore.org. That's BethMoore.org, or download the Living Proof app. Search for Beth Moore in your app store.
Buying a home is the largest, most nerve-wracking purchase most of us ever make. It doesn't help that you're entering a maze of unfamiliar words and confusing options that can leave you intimidated, frustrated, and afraid you've been taken advantage of. Navigating the Mortgage Maze by Dale Vermillion helps you clear up the confusion, unrack your nerves, and make the best mortgage decisions possible with confidence. Navigating the Mortgage Maze, available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hey, don't forget to check us out online. You'll find us at moneywiselive.org. You'll find links to lots of free resources, budget templates, radio archives, how to find a certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, and how to give if you'd like to send a gift. We'd certainly appreciate that. It's tax deductible. Of course, we hope that that's not your primary reason for giving. If you'd like to be a part of this ministry, give online when you click the donate tab at moneywiselive.org. Fishers, Indiana. Hi, Tyler. What's your question for Rob?
Hi, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just had a quick question. My wife has a 401k at an employer she no longer works at, and there's a decent amount of money in there. I'd like to roll over into just a regular retirement account.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure how to practically go about doing that. I would prefer to do it just online myself instead of going to an advisor. Are there sites that you would recommend, or where can I go to do that?
Yeah. Well, there's a couple of steps involved here, Tyler. The first thing you need to do is open that IRA, unless you're planning to roll it into an IRA that's already been open. Do you have an IRA, a traditional?
No, not none that not within a 401k.
Okay. Well, the next step would be to decide who your custodian is going to be. And a lot of that has to do with how you want it to be invested, whether you want to do this yourself or you want to have somebody else. So if you don't want to involve an advisor, are you going to use ETFs with like an indexed approach, or how do you want to go about investing this money?
That's a good question. I'm not 100% sure yet. I was preferring just to go with mutual funds, not an ETF.
Okay. Yeah, and that's fine. So you're going to select those funds yourself, though, as opposed to hiring somebody to select them for you?
Yes.
Okay, great.
I do plan on getting an advisor and having some money there, but I was also maybe looking to just do some on my own as well.
Okay, very good. Well, a couple of things then. I would probably consider either Charles Schwab. You could look at TD Ameritrade. You could even look at Vanguard. All three of those would be very low cost. You could open the rollover IRA online. It would have nothing in it. And then once the money is moved over, and we'll talk about how to do that in a moment, then you could invest in anything you'd like. With Schwab and TD Ameritrade, you'd have the full gamut of high quality, low cost, even no transaction fee and no load mutual funds available to you. With Vanguard, you'd have the Vanguard family of funds, which are very high quality as well. Once the account's open, you'll want to contact your HR department or plan administrator for that 401k, or your wife will, and you'll want to say, I need the rollover paperwork. And they'll send her, probably electronically, the paperwork where she'll fill in the account number to the new IRA that you've opened. and the information, probably the ACAT number or for the automatic transfer, and you can get all of that from the other institution. And then literally the funds will just transfer without coming to you. You won't get a check or anything, and you'll be notified once they're deposited into that other account in the form of cash. At that point, you'll be free to then begin investing. And I would visit with our friends at soundmindinvesting.org for some great ideas on mutual funds. And I'd love to even send you a copy of the Sound Mind Investing Handbook, which could help you as well. All that you can do yourself, but that would be a great resource for you as you're making those mutual fund selections. So I love this idea. It'll be you'll be surprised at how easy it is. And at that point, you're kind of off to the races. I think the key point here, though, is don't miss the opportunity to get some wise counsel. Even though there's a cost involved, I still think you'll benefit in the long run by having somebody help you make these decisions. But is that clear to you?
Yes, that is clear. And I do plan on getting an advisor, but I also think I want to do a little on my own.
Yeah,
and just kind of split it up both ways.
I like it. Well, I think that that sounds like a good plan, and it'll be quick and easy for you to do. So if you have any other questions along the way, just let us know.
Tyler, we're glad you called. Thank you very much, buddy. We appreciate it. Rob, what do you say we take an email, all right?
That sounds great.
All right, this is from Melissa. She says, "Dear Rob, I'm trying to find a starting point to get myself debt-free. Is consolidation a good option for me? I'm struggling and barely able to make my minimum payments. I don't know where to start. Please, can you help?"
Yeah. Well, Melissa, I'm delighted to hear that you've purposed yourself to get to a place where you are debt-free. And really the beginning point, I think, is recognizing you're a steward, as we all are. We're managers of God's resources. We want to be found faithful, and God's word has a lot to say about how we manage money wisely. The second thing is you've got to have a spending plan. Really the key to staying out of debt and creating margin to pay off debt is living within God's provision and spending less than you earn so you can free up excess to be able to fund an emergency fund or pay down debt. That's really key. In terms of the strategy, I really don't like a consolidation loan where you're taking on new debt to pay off old debt. Oftentimes, it takes the pressure off, even if the interest rate comes down. We often see a year or two later, the debt is back, and we have the consolidation loan on top of it because we didn't solve the ultimate problem, which was spending less than we earn. We can also spread out the repayment period too long, and therefore even the lower interest rate is going to end up costing us more in the long run. So here's what I'd do. I'd consider a debt management program. You will have to close any of the cards that go in, but you'll find you'll pay it off 80% faster because you'll have lower interest rates and one payment. Visit with our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org to learn more.
Okay, good information, Rob. ChristianCreditCounselors.org, a great organization. If you'd like to send Rob a brief email question to be read on the air, here's the address, questions@moneywise.org. It's questions@moneywise.org. Back with more after this.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to show love for one another by sharing each other's health costs. Through CHM's voluntary health cost sharing programs, members uplift each other spiritually and financially. CHM is an eligible option under the Affordable Care Act and a Better Business Bureau accredited charity. Interested? Learn more by calling 800-791-6225 or online at chministries.org.
Hi, my name is Aaron, production assistant at Moody Radio. The Moody Radio verse of the week is found in Mark 11:24-25. "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." That's Matthew 11:28-30, the Moody Radio verse of the week.
Here's how one person described the impact of Moody Radio. It's gotten me to focus on Christ more, starting with reading God's Word, but that also carries over into being a father, being a husband, and also be there for somebody that might be seeking Christ.
Help reach listeners like this with the Word of God.
Call 1-800-DL-MOODY or visit moodyradio.org.
Money and life run on the same track, but unfortunately, sometimes it seems like your money is heading in a different direction from your goals. In Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment, author Ron Blue helps you to break down all your financial options to a basic four, and then shows you how to keep it all chugging along in the right direction on the same track. Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment, available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. The differences in Washington over the next coronavirus aid package are vast. Democrats proposing $3 trillion in relief. Republicans have a $1 trillion counteroffer. Attorney General William Barr on Capitol Hill testifying before the House Judiciary Committee earlier. He is defending the federal law enforcement response to civil unrest in America. Barr told the members of the committee at a much-anticipated hearing that the violence taking place in Portland, Oregon, and other cities is disconnected from George Floyd's killing. Major League Baseball temporarily suspended the Miami Marlins season through Sunday because of their worsening coronavirus outbreak. A late slump left stocks broadly lower on Wall Street. The Dow fell 205 points today. The NASDAQ was off 134. This is SRN News.
This is MoneyWise Live, and we hope you're having a great day. Let's go back to our phone lines. Boca Raton, Florida. Michelle, thank you for your patience, and what's your question?
Hi, thank you. My husband and I own a small business, and we have two employees that are very hardworking, full-time employees, and we would like to offer them health insurance.
Yeah.
Or give them, you know, we would like to pay for their health insurance. Can you tell me the best way to go about doing that?
Yeah, you'd want to find a health insurance broker who could look at your particular company and go out and shop it on the open market with all of the healthcare providers. And based on the size of the company and based on the benefits you're looking to provide, obviously they'll give you a menu of choices. If you don't know a good health insurance broker, perhaps at your local church, ask somebody who has a small business, perhaps maybe even a little bit bigger than your own, who they use. Most often people will use a broker for this purpose so that they can each year bid the particular health insurance plan against other companies to make sure that year to year as the increases come in, and they always do, that they have the very best option for their employees and themselves to keep costs down and provide as much coverage as possible. Now, those premiums are going to be deductible, Michelle, in the sense that any health insurance for employees or for dependents are 100% tax deductible as ordinary business expenses on the state and federal level, but they're still expensive. So one other option to consider, which I think a lot of small businesses and even churches are doing, is to look at a health medical sharing ministry as an option. Now, it's not traditional health insurance. It's not insurance at all. It's Christians coming together to share each other's medical bills. And you would, although it's a fraction of the cost, you would have obviously more in the way of out-of-pocket expenses for routine care and office visits and so forth. But beyond those levels, once you reach a certain threshold, I think around $450, everything is then covered through the sharing ministry. Very cost effective, but again, in order to attract and retain, you know, competent workers, they're often going to be looking for benefits, and namely health insurance, just because of how expensive it is. And if they have smaller children and so forth, they may be looking for traditional insurance. But I would at least look at it as an option. So I think your next step is to find a health insurance agent or broker who can go out and bid several plans come back to you, and then you and your husband can look at that and factor it in into your, you know, business plan, make sure you've got the ability to do it. But no doubt it'll be a great benefit to your employees.
Yes. Okay. Well, thank you. I really appreciate it. You guys,
you're welcome.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're very welcome. I'm from Fort Lauderdale, so I know your neck of the woods well, and I hope it's a beautiful day down there in South Florida. Thank you for calling.
Thanks, Michelle. And let's stay in the beautiful state of Florida, Windermere, Florida. Lewis has some questions about some retirement choices.
Well, Lewis, thank you for your patience, and you're on MoneyWise Live. Go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I have been listening to your program for a long time, and I do have some questions for myself. I am 57 years old, and I have my home that I owe about $115,000, and I have a 401k. I have not a whole lot of money in the IRA. My question is, at my age, should I work towards paying my house, or should I continue to? By the way, I have a 15 years mortgage, and I'm in the fifth year of my 15 years, so I have 10 years left. So my interest rate is about 3.25%. Okay. What is the benefit for me to pay the house off or put more money towards my 401k?
Yeah. Do you know roughly what percentage of your income you're putting toward your 401k now?
Yes, it was 12%. I increased it about a few days ago to 18%.
Wow. So 18% of your pay is going into a 401k each year.
Yes.
That's great. Okay. And in terms of your home and just your overall budget, you're obviously paying your monthly payment, but do you have any margin at the end of the month in a given month?
Yes, I do have a margin. Not a whole lot left, but I do have a margin left.
Yeah. Okay.
Every month, yes.
Well, I think the key here, Lewis, is we want to do both things at the same time. We want to be working toward being debt-free, and I love that you have a 15-year mortgage and you've only got 10 years left. We also have a great interest rate on that mortgage at a low 3.25%. You're also saving aggressively. I would consider 18% going toward a 401k pretty aggressive. That's a good thing, especially if you're trying to get trying to play catch-up. Maybe you didn't do quite as much in the past. I think the key with your margin moving forward is as long as you've defined your finish line, meaning you know what your goal is for retirement, and if you don't, I'd engage a financial planner there in Florida to help you do some retirement planning so you know what your finish line is. That's number one. Number two, you're an active and regular giver. That's going to break the power of money over your life and allow you to experience the joy that Jesus was talking about when he said it's better to give than to receive. So we want to be active and systematic givers. We also want to be moving toward being debt-free, and you're doing that as well. Now, if you have margin over and above 18% to your retirement plan and covering your bills and you've got your emergency fund and you're actively giving, yeah, sending an extra payment or two a year to your mortgage company is going to cut that 10 years down. And I'd love for you to get to retirement, whatever that is, where you have no debt, including your home. So perhaps that's a way for you to say, okay, if I'm planning to retire at 65, and that's not there's no magic age. You know, we need to ask God what he has for us in that new season, but you may be redirecting your time and energy elsewhere. Whatever that date is, perhaps get your mortgage company to run the amortization schedule to tell you how much extra you need to send per year so that your mortgage is paid in full by the time you get there. And guess what that's going to do? It's going to reduce the amount that you need every month in order to cover your lifestyle from Social Security and your investments. So I think you're on the right track. I'd stay at your long-term savings. I'd do some retirement planning with a financial planner, and I would try to figure out how you can sync up the payoff of your mortgage to your retirement, expected retirement, and what that would mean in terms of extra principal payments each year.
And with that, Lewis, we're going to have to wrap it up, put a bow on it. As they say, we're out of time. But thank you very much for being a regular listener, and thanks so much for calling in. It sounds like you're really moving and heading in the right direction. The last thing, and I believe Rob may have mentioned that, at some point you need to decide, you know, how does God want me to live? What should be my standard of living? And obviously, Rob, that's not the same for everybody. In fact, it's very seldom the same for everybody, right?
Well, that's exactly right. You know, we need to all be asking, Lord, what have you called me to do? What is the lifestyle you want me to live? And then respond accordingly. Nobody else can define that for us.
Amen. You're listening to MoneyWise Live. MoneyWise Live is a partnership between Moody Radio and MoneyWise Media. And it's really vital that we continue to have you as a listener and a supporter. If you'd like to give today, just visit MoneyWiseLive.org and click the donate tab at the top of the page. We'll be right back with more. Stick around.
Do you know if you have enough? Enough money? Enough house? Do you know how much is enough? If not, Ron Blue can help with his book, Master Your Money, a step-by-step plan for experiencing financial contentment. Learn how to save, invest, and give wisely, how to create a long-term financial plan, and how to get out of debt. You'll find it all in Master Your Money by Ron Blue, available when you click the store button at MoneyWiseLive.org.
Hi, I'm Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy here to help you understand the urgency and how fun it is to share your faith at every opportunity. It's our human nature to want to do more of whatever it is that makes us most happy. That's why amongst all the wonderful things I get to enjoy in life, I'd rather have a great conversation about God than anything else. The more you know God, the more you want to know God. And the more you know God, the more you want to share God. And the more you share God, the more it becomes like breathing, because it breathes eternal life into you. And actually, that's fun. As much as I love my business and cars and great food and experiences, all of those things will be meaningless 100 years from now. For those of us who are Christians, the only thing that will matter in heaven is how many people will be in heaven because of our influence. There's nothing more exciting than knowing God just used you to lead somebody to Him. Join us at IgniteAmerica.com.
Prayer is something that most people only really turn to seriously when the chips are down. You and I can be sure that there are a lot more people praying today than there were before the coronavirus breakout. And yet this whole prayer thing was never meant to be merely a last resort. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond from ChristianityWorks.com. The startling thing is that when you open God's Word, you discover that the only sort of prayer the Bible teaches about is the sort that has powerful results. I wanted to encourage you again with this truth. Listen carefully. The only sort of prayer that the Bible teaches about is the sort that has powerful results. In fact, we're told to come boldly before the throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. So can I encourage you today, take heart, pray boldly, and let God's peace rule in your heart.
The financial wealth you leave behind could be the best thing that ever happened to your loved ones, or the worst. In Splitting Heirs, Giving Your Money and Things to Your Children Without Ruining Their Lives, Ron Blue explains why it's important to make these decisions now, instead of forcing your heirs to do it later. Splitting Heirs will foster a real appreciation for the precious resources that God has entrusted to you. And it's available when you click the store button at MoneyWiseLive.org.
Welcome back to MoneyWise Live with Rob West. I'm Steve Moore. This is a place where your checkbook and God's book meet to have an impact on your life and the lives around you. And let's go back to our phones. Somewhere in southern Illinois, Aaron, you've been very patient. Thank you very much. What's on your mind today?
Hi, thank you for having me.
Sure.
My husband and I are newly debt-free, with the exception of our house. We're 35 and 37. I have a six-year-old son who's autistic. Now, we're building up our savings for our rainy day fund, I guess. how do we incorporate to make sure that our son is taken care of, to make sure all the bills are paid? Because they fluctuate. Sometimes they're $400 a month. Sometimes they could be $1,500, depending on what type of therapy he has and things like that. Sure. So how do you incorporate a chronic illness or, you know, something that won't go away with our financial plan?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And, you know, as you're thinking about your spending plan, you want to first, I think with something that is unknown and variable, you want to start by looking back. And so you would say, okay, let's look back over the last 12 months. And, you know, if this is something that's been around for much longer than that, maybe even the last 24 months, just to say what's been the amount we've spent over this 12 or 24 month period, and then take that total and divide by 12 or 24 to get more of an average. And then once you have that number, I would then look forward and say, okay, now I know what the historical average is. Now, what do we know about this situation medically that could result in changes in the future? And then you want to make sure that's reflected to the extent you have information or knowledge that something will change with regard to the cost structure. And then settle into an amount that you think is reasonable. Well, then, like with anything, whether it's medical or otherwise, we got to go back to the spending plan and say, can I do this? Can I put away $400 a month or $500 or whatever it is? And what do I need to do to bring my spending in line with my income? And what changes do we need to make, if any? Then perhaps you set up a savings account specifically for that purpose. And the great thing is now with online savings, it's something like Ally or Marcus or Capital One 360. There's no fees for those. You can set up one specifically for medical expenses. And by the way, if you have the access to a high deductible health insurance option, you may want to consider an HSA, a health savings account. But either way, I think, you know, having that fund available to be able to put that money into that's earmarked for that purpose, maybe it's an automatic transfer every month coming a portion out of every paycheck so you don't even see it. And then it's linked to your checking account so you can move the money back as needed. That's just about the best way to go about trying to plan. And as you get more information over time, you would, of course, have to adjust it periodically. Do you follow all that, though, Aaron?
Yes. Yes, I do. Thank
you.
Okay.
You're welcome. Yeah. Was there another piece to this?
Well, no. I just, you know, we're building our savings, you know, and we're I don't have a 401k. As yet, like I said, I'm 35, so I've got quite a bit to go on, or 30 years on average to go to work. So, I mean, I'm slowly incorporating some type of Roth for retirement. I haven't gotten to that point yet, but my husband has a retirement. It's just, you know, just moving forward on to, since we don't have any debt anymore. So
yeah, well, let's celebrate that and take a moment to say, Lord, thank you for your provision that's allowing us to live completely debt-free except for the mortgage, and we're working on that. We want to honor you. We want to be givers. We want to take care of all these medical expenses. We want to manage your money wisely, and we want to save for the future. And so what is the right amount to be doing there? And your husband's got one plan started, and you've got a Roth, and you know, if you have some matching at work, if you're working, you know, we may want to, I think that's probably a great thing for you to take advantage of because it's free money. If not, I think the Roth is a great choice. So you've got competing priorities here, Aaron. You guys are trying to work it all out, and I'm confident the Lord will honor your diligence there.
Man, it sure sounds like you're making great headway. We wish you the best, Aaron. Thanks so much for calling. Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and Stan, what's your question today for Rob West? Hi, Stan. You with us? Okay, we're having trouble with Stan. We'll go to Ed in Kansas and come back to Stan. Ed, what's your situation? How can we help you?
Well, I've been listening to you guys for about 2 years, and it appears that you're pretty much anti-debt. And my question for you is, I'm a farmer, and, of course, when you farm, the number one thing you have to have is land.
Yeah.
So that is something that you'll never have enough cash to make the purchase. So can a Christian man be a farmer? And because if you're going to farm, you're going to have debt. It's a business.
Sure.
So are you guys, your program, are you concentrating on personal debt, or are you also talking about business debt?
We talk about both, Ed, and let me just clarify what you're talking about here, because you are right. You know, we talk a good bit about the Bible's warnings related to debt, and they're clear, starting with this idea that the borrower is servant to the lender. There's a change in relationship there, and, you know, debt was considered a curse in the Old Testament in some cases, and so we see just all of these warnings. However, we also talk very clearly about the fact that, A, borrowing is not a sin. B, there's permissible debt, and what we would call permissible debt is where debt is taken out not for a depreciating asset, like borrowing from a car. We would try not to do that, where you're funding your lifestyle with credit cards, things like that, but where you're borrowing for things that are appreciating. So a home would be permissible debt. That makes sense from an economic standpoint, allows you to make a major purchase. It's also your place to live, but it should be a someplace that's going to increase in value. And businesses would be in the same situation, where you're borrowing to conduct your business. And so it allows you the ability to do what you do. And in your case, Ed, there in Kansas, that's farming. Well, I would say that's a perfectly permissible use of debt. But we don't do that blindly. We do that heeding the warnings in Scripture and recognizing that change in relationship, monitoring our debt levels, and making sure it doesn't become something for a personal, a family, or a business that can create a real financial challenge, because just the servicing of the debt becomes something that puts a major strain on the business or the family. So even though it's permissible and can make a lot of sense in both situations, we still need to understand the nature of debt and be on our guard. And we also enjoy the benefit of being debt-free over time in both a personal situation as well as a business situation. I remember years ago, a friend of mine who was in the heavy equipment business and decided that he was going to pay off all the equipment and get completely debt-free. Well, that's just unheard of in that business, because you have all this equipment and you're constantly leasing and buying. Well, he decided he was going to just pay it all off. Well, it ended up being a major earthquake and a downturn. Everybody went out of business in California, and his equipment was the only one on the scene, because he had the ability, being debt-free, to continue to operate the business during a difficult economic season, and he had the ability to respond to a really tragic situation. So I think there's also some benefits to being debt-free. But don't hear us say, Ed, that there's something wrong with using debt, especially when it involves an asset, or in the case of a business, using debt for permissible and positive purposes. Do you follow all that?
Oh, yeah. My term always has been, it's all right to have debt, just make sure it's a manageable debt.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
I went through the 80s, and I'm never going to pay 18% on an operating note again. But
yeah. Well, I think you're right on there, and hopefully that clarifies our position on that. And we appreciate you listening and for calling today.
Thank you, Ed. God bless you, brother. We appreciate your efforts on behalf of all of us that take advantage of your hard work. Thanks again. Now Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Stan, I hate to do this to you, buddy. We have like 2 minutes at the most. I'm going to summarize your question, and then you jump in. You're 63. You can't retire for another 3.5 years. You're thinking about taking money out of your 401k. You're wondering if this is a good idea. Is that pretty much it?
That's pretty close. My full retirement age won't be for about 3 more years. I've got a 401k I really don't need. I just wondered about, you know, withdrawing $1,000 a month from it for the next 40 months.
Okay.
Yeah.
Taking me on to full retirement age.
Yeah. And so, Stan, this would be to supplement your income?
Sort of. I don't really need it. I've already retired from a government job several years ago, so I get a government pension, and I'm debt-free, my wife and I. So I just thought, start taking it out monthly, pay the taxes on it as I take it out, and really save it or give it away. I don't need it for my budget right now.
Okay. Yeah. I guess what I'm wondering, I mean, unless you were going to give it away, I'm wondering why you'd take it out. I might rather you just leave it right there, continue to invest it, let it grow. You can then roll it out to the IRA. I mean, you can take it out. It is going to be a taxable event. There's no penalty because you're over 59 and a half. But if you wanted to do some giving and the Lord was leading you to do some giving, then I'd say don't think twice. Just do it. Now, that's great, especially he's blessed you. Your bills are covered. You've got this extra money. But if it's just to take it and move it from one account to another account, I don't know that I would go ahead and pay the tax on it now. I'd just keep it invested in whatever it's invested in, assuming it's appropriate for your age, risk tolerance, goals, and objectives. And then when the time comes to roll it out, move it to an IRA, and then you can move it out from there.
And Stan, we're going to have to let you go, but I hope that information helps you. Thanks very much for holding, for your patience, and for bearing with us today. You've been listening to MoneyWise Live with Rob West. I'm Steve Moore. We're here each day, Monday through Friday, taking your calls about anything financial. But I'm sure you figured out by now that our wisdom is not wisdom that we've gained over the years. It's biblical wisdom to the best of our ability. If you'd like to know more about God and His Word, check out the Financial Stewardship Bible. It's available when you visit our website, MoneyWiseLive.org. MoneyWise Live is a partnership between Moody Radio and MoneyWise Media. Thanks so much for listening. Tell a friend. Join us again next time.